Greetings in the Savior's name. Great to be with you. To love and to cherish. You may have vowed, that may have been part of your vows, depending on how your vows were worded. To love and to cherish. One that we may have glossed over thinking, well, that ought to be the easy one. And so I think it's a real blessing here tonight and tomorrow to zero in on this concept of cherish. And in this first session, we'd like to kind of box in what we mean by cherish and what is cherish and get our mind around that. To cherish our spouse. Well, let's start with value. What do you value? Think, what are 5 or 10 things that you value? Just in your mind, think. What do you value? Different things come to mind. And I might note that some of those things have value that are above and beyond monetary value. So we're talking about something larger than a price tag, although some things we value have those also. So we're going to talk a little bit about value of cherish. The value required in order to cherish. We want to cherish our spouses like Christ cherishes the church. The brother Steve said it well in his opening comments about how we reflect Christ in marriage. And part of what Christ does is he cherishes the church. That's part of his vows, and he stuck with it. He does that. He cherishes the church. We have that in Ephesians 5, as Arlen mentioned or alluded to. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Ephesians 5. We have in other places where the church and God's people are regarded as peculiar treasures to Christ and to God. He has always had a fondness, and his language towards us and towards the church has been that of cherish. Of loving. What does that look like? It might be an average of some of these words. Treasure. Honor. Value. Nurture. These are words that try to close in and fence in this concept of cherish. Adore. Prize. That's what Christ is towards us and towards His church. He does these things. He loves. He's devoted. Even dotes, doesn't he? This is what we mean by cherish. And what is a prerequisite to cherish? What is it that we cherish, but we cherish worth? Things that are worthy are things that we cherish. Only those things worthy. We're going to dive in a little bit to this concept of worth. And you might say tonight we're going to perhaps appraise the worth of our spouse and find them worthy of cherish. Does that make sense? Worth. Now, the word worth is really interesting. Worth is actually measured by weight. Back in the old days, that's how you were to measure the worth of that plow that you were buying. You had to put a certain amount of precious something in order for it to weigh enough to balance out the scale for you to take the plow home. The worth of the plow was worth in weight of whatever the precious metal was. Does it make sense? That actually is what worthy means. When we talk about something being worthy, we're talking about a measure of weight, the mass of it. How much is there? How much stuff is it? How worthy is that something? Worth. Worthy. Now, before I go too much further, okay, so if this is about my spouse figuring out how much I weigh, that's not what I signed up for. No. We're going to look at something else, though. We're going to look at establishing our spouse's weight of worth. The weight of worth. And we are going to find it worth cherishing. Okay? So the objective here in this first session here tonight is to establish our spouse's weight of worth. Because the church's weight of worth to Christ is why he cherishes it. And to do that, we're going to look at six different domains, okay? Six different domains on how we might measure our spouse's weight of worth, okay? And those six are these: the weight of crucifixion, the weight of conversion, the weight of commitment, the weight of creation, the weight of complementary, and the weight of companionship. Okay, so there are six C's that we're going to look at. And for each one, we might spend a little time and muse and consider. So do engage, put on your thinker here and be ready to respond thoughtfully in these domains. And we'll spend the time talking through what they are. The first one, we're going to speak about the crucifixion of Christ and what that has to do with your spouse's weight of worth. Then we'll look at conversion. Because your spouse is a Christian, that gives them a weight of worth. We'll look at commitment. Because your spouse is still with you, gives them a weight of worth. We're going to talk about the weight of creation. Because you have created together, that gives your spouse a weight of worth. We'll look at the weight of complementary. Because you fit together and are different, gives them a weight of worth. And finally, companionship. Because they are your companion and friend, there's a weight of worth there. Now, these aren't the only six domains that one could use to measure the weight of worth, but that's the ones we will stick to tonight. Let's start with the weight of crucifixion. The weight of crucifixion. This is the worth Christ places on us. The worth Christ places on us. We actually back all the way out of marriage, and this is Christ's worth that he places on people apart from being married or not. We have the weight of crucifixion. I'd like you to follow this train of thought with me. First of all, we've mentioned that we cherish things with worth. Okay? Those things that have worth, that have weight of worth. Next, we have to understand that the worth of anything actually is set by the buyer. Let me tell you a little story on how this became clear to me. When I was putting together my garage sale, I thought I determined what things were worth. And I put little stickers on things according to what they were worth. And that bicycle, which I know is worth $15, never sold. And I had this epiphany at the end of the day when I realized I don't get to determine what that bicycle is worth. It's the buyer who decides the worth of the bike. eBay, Amazon, they've all taught us that well, haven't they? The buyer gets to determine the worth of any item. Will it be sold or will it not be sold? The buyer will determine that. And so we need to realize if we're going to measure the weight of worth of our spouse, if we are going to consider that, we need to look to the buyer and inspect just what the buyer is going to pay. Now, the question then is who is the buyer? We have the buyer. We have the buyer of all humanity. We have the buyer of your spouse to be that of Christ. The buyer is Jesus. Jesus purchased, we have that language clear in Scripture, purchased us with his blood, right? Which is also very important, because now that we've established that Jesus is the buyer, the next question is, what was the purchase price? He purchased for how much? And he purchased it for the payment of his blood. Christ purchased your spouse with the payment of his blood. Well, then the next question then would be, just how priceless, just how worthy is the blood of Jesus? Just how worthy is the blood of Jesus? I think a terrific passage to go to that I think speaks to the worthiness of Christ in such vivid terms is Revelation 5. Do you remember Revelation 5? I'll recount the story for you just a little bit. Revelation 5, John is seeing a vision in heaven, and there's a mass of people around the throne of God. And there is a scroll to be opened. There is a parchment to be unsealed. And God is looking for a worthy one to loose the bands of the seal. Remember that story? Who is worthy? The call goes out of all of heaven. And none on earth and none in heaven were found worthy. So much so that John weeps in this moment of absolute terror to say that nothing, there's nothing worthy. And then all of a sudden, there appears a lamb as though he had been slain. The Lord Jesus was worthy to loose the bands and open the seal. So if we want to measure then the weight of Christ's payment, his blood, if we want to see just exactly how worthy is Christ and what he paid, we could go to Revelation 5 to say the highest price that can be paid. Your spouse has been purchased with the highest price that can be bid. In fact, we find Christ has appraised all of humanity as worthy, as worth it. See, we have then this tremendous, this starting at the bottom here, because of the worth of Christ, because of the worth of Christ, and your spouse's worth to Christ, your spouse has exceeding worth. We establish now the worth of the crucifixion. Allow yourself to muse on this as you consider what your spouse means to Jesus, what all humanity means to Jesus for that matter. And we begin to understand what it means to cherish this. The weight of crucifixion. Now let's look at the weight of conversion. I'm not going to spend equal time on all six, so if you're like figuring out the time and dividing by six and then looking at the clock, we're not going to spend the same amount of time on all of them. The worth of conversion. You see, the worth of crucifixion applies to all mankind. Saved or unsaved, Jesus died for them all. He finds all of us worth it. But now there is a worth to those who have been redeemed, those who have repented of their sin, who have confessed Christ. And so now we have the worth Christ places on us when we believe. Your spouse, if he or her is a believer, has now added worth, added worthiness. And that comes from Christ. Look at how it's said here in 2 Corinthians 4. We have, we carry the weight of God's glory in earthen vessels. It's said in so beautifully. It says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He's shined in our hearts. I love how this verse really plays on the creation story when God shined into the darkness and said, let there be light. That same creative God, that same God did an amazing creation in your spouse, if they are a believer. And he's shown his glory into them. And we do possess them in earthen vessels. That's where we get confused a little bit with the worth of each other. But that worth is in our earthly frame. It's cradled in our marred jars, right? We carry God's glory. Your spouse carries. And this is the weight of conversion. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Now, I have an activity to help you internalize what this means for your spouse. What this means for your spouse. On page 7 of your booklet, there is a rendering of Titus chapter 3, a portion out of that right there. You can see it up here on the screen. I love this portion of Scripture because this is what Paul is speaking to Titus, and he is speaking the gospel right into Titus's life, okay? And what I have simply done is I have put in a fill-in-the-blank exercise where you can fill in the blank for your spouse. I just took the personal pronouns out of Titus chapter 3 and left it blank. And I want you to take some time right now with your pen and go in and I want you to read this and insert your spouse's name there where appropriate. Use the appropriate pronoun for your spouse. For me, it would read this. For Rebecca, that's my wife. For Rebecca was sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, Rebecca's Savior, toward her appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which she has done, but according to his mercy, he saved Rebecca by washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on her abundantly through Christ Jesus, her Savior. That being justified by his grace, Rebecca should be made an heir according to the hope of eternal life, that she might be careful to maintain good works. Put your own spouse in there and read it to yourself. Doesn't that sound good? It's an excellent way to view your spouse in much the same way God views him or her. This would be how he sees him or her. And when we see them in the same way, we start now to get a sense of the gravity of the weight of his or her worth. By means of conversion. This is that glorious gospel of Christ in the earthen vessel. It's peering through the earthen vessel just to inspect really what is inside a converted heart. The weight of conversion, the weight of crucifixion. Let's look now at the weight of commitment. The weight of commitment. The worth of sticking with them. Now, each one of you are here are committed to one another to this point. And what we have here with commitment, I love this quote. It says, Yahweh is the sort who sticks with what he has stuck with. Isn't that great? Jesus is the sort that sticks with what he stuck with. Have you found it so? What we're speaking of here is the beauty of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the beauty of God who stuck with us. And so many stories can account for it, right? We could go all the way through the Old Testament stories of a God who sticks with his people because he stuck with them. And you, in the same way, are stuck with your spouse, and you have been for some time. I've got a few questions up here, a few prompts for you to consider that commitment, because it is significant. How many months have you been married? Go ahead and do the math. How many months? There you go. They're talking. That's a lot of months. That's a lot of time to be stuck with a person, isn't it? You've been stuck with this person, and you're sticking with what you're stuck with. But a couple other things. How is your spouse stuck with you? What is your spouse stuck with you through? And these are important questions because these add to the weight of worth of your spouse. And so I'd like you to consider these. And as I do this exercise, I'm thinking about my spouse being stuck with Rebecca, being stuck with me. And I start to think, boy, she's put up with this, and well, she's put up with that, and she's stuck to me through this and through that. Take a few moments. What has your spouse stuck with you through? This builds worth. This builds cherish. This is the stuff that cherish lives on. The worth of crucifixion, the weight of conversion, the weight of commitment, the weight of creation, the weight of creation, the worth that comes from creating together. You know, God is a creator, and God said, let us make man in our image. You can see God in community with himself, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they create together. Let us together. Why don't we together make man as well as other things? There is tremendous worth that's been built with your spouse because what you've all created together. Not the least of which might be children, but not limited to that, right? Here's a short list to consider. Your children. You've made a home together. You perhaps have a business. Certainly there's identity that you have together. You and your spouse's name roll off people's tongues together. There's an identity there. You've together built history together. It's the photo album, isn't it? Or whatever that photo album takes, whatever format, venue it takes these days. That's what history is. Memories. That many months of memories that you could quote, that you calculate in the last slide, right? Think about all those memories. And sometimes it just takes time, it takes effort to start to think through ministry and other things that you've created together. To say that you together have a footprint in this world. You've left footprints together. So there is a weight of worth that comes by way of remembering what we've created. Take a few moments. I see some of you writing things down. Excellent. Think about what some of those things might be, of those things you've created together. The weight of complementary. The weight of complementary. The worth that comes from being necessarily different. There is a worth that your spouse has because they're not you, right? There is a weight of worth there. And so we're going to just pause a moment, and we're going to consider now what this one looks like, the weight of complementary. I like this quote from Professor Bohr. He is a physicist who studied contradiction. And so he has this quote to say, opposites are not contradictory, they're complementary. And his finding is what seems to be contradictory actually is completing one another. Quantum physics is what I was trying to remember. Some of you knew that. Thanks for being patient with me. Okay. What does it mean that your spouse is complementary, not contradictory? How has your spouse balanced you out? Right? How has your spouse grown you? In what ways have you grown because of your spouse, right? Because he or she is not contradictory, but complementary. In what ways has your spouse stretched you? How have you and your spouse acted as a team because of your differences? Good, I see some of you writing. Consider these things. Think through, what does this, provides a weight of worth. This provides, and we're speaking now to the value that your spouse has provided. Some of those questions, those prompts might help you muse and think on what that weight of worth looks like. And finally, our last, the weight of companionship. And again, this is not an exhaustive list, but the weight of companionship. The worth that comes from friendship. Set out early in the Genesis narrative, we have companionship. We have God creating man and woman to be a helpmeet, right? We have it right here in Genesis 2. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." Genesis 2:18. And so God knit into our relationship fabric early on a need for companionship, a need for a helpmate. And with that companionship comes now a weight. The weight of worth. Some prompts again to help you think about that. Prompts to help you think about that. What do you find fun about your spouse? What are some things that you enjoy? You enjoy to be around, right? How are you pleased by him or her, right? In what ways does your spouse provide you that support? In much of the same way a friend would. In much of the same way, friendship and companionship, what is it that you like? And this gets to the weight of worth of companionship. We'll speak more to this particular one in a breakout, should you be a part of that one. Consider those a moment. And now you're going to have more time. You're going to have more time this weekend to go back through and consider some of these things. But just as a way of recap, remember that there is a weight that your spouse has, a weight of value, a weight of worthiness because of Christ's crucifixion for your spouse. Christ paid the ultimate dowry. Then there's a weight of conversion. Because your spouse is a believer, there is within their clay frame a weight beyond measure. And then four of many that we could probably cite, there's a weight of commitment. Because your wife or your husband has stuck to you till now. There's a weight of creation. Because you've all created together. There's a weight of being complementary. The contradictions are more complementary. And then there is a weight of companionship. Okay? I hope that tonight we just really set up the stage for why we would cherish. And hopefully you'll find now that your spouse is appraised very highly. and worth cherishing. Okay? Welcome. Thanks for being here. We hope that the remainder of the weekend now carries this concept forward.